Is the Charlottesville arts community doing enough to market itself as a regional destination for patrons of the arts? What else can be done to ensure that the visual, performing, and literary arts not only survive, but thrive? Those are just a couple of the questions explored during the second community conversation organized by the Piedmont Council of the Arts. Representatives of various groups were invited to Charlottesville's City Space Meeting Room on the Downtown Mall in mid-January 2009 to discuss the topic, Marketing Charlottesville as a Creative Community. PCA Executive Director Maggie Guggenheimer explains the philosophy behind the Creative Conversation series.
In years past, some of you may have known that Piedmont Council of the Arts held roundtable conversations, and they were primarily with the performing arts community. People gathered together once or twice a year to discuss common challenges, potential opportunities to do things better collectively, and I really wanted to bring that back as a regular component of what PCA does, but broaden it outside of the performing arts sector in and of itself, and moreover, outside of the arts community into the community at large.
Participants in the conversation included individual artists who rent space at the McGuffey Art Center. There were officials from the Paramount, the Charlottesville Pavilion, and the John Paul Jones Arena. A trio of representatives from Stanton and Waynesboro arts groups were also on hand to see what they could learn from Charlottesville. After a round of introductions, Maggie Guggenheimer jumped in with the first question.
So I'm going to ask some brave person to jump in for us, and I think we should start at the beginning because that question sort of needs to be answered before we can get any further. And that question is, what is a creative community? How do we define it? How do other people define it? What do you think of when you hear that term, and what does it mean for Charlottesville?
My name is Suzanne Bells. I'm an independent designer and marketing consultant here in Charlottesville. Jane Fisher and I are working together to frame an education and outreach program for the Charlottesville Community Design Center. Now, the Charlottesville Community Design Center has a very focused mission about the built environment and helping the community understand the value of design in building community. But one of the aspects of the education and outreach program that we want to foster is more collaboration with the arts community, because art gets at the fundamental meaning around the major topics and categories of discussion that we're looking at, and gives us an underpinning of why community exists at all, what its importance is, how we connect to the natural environment, and gives us a mirror on ourselves, reflects back to us what society is talking about, whether good, bad, or ugly, or beautiful. That's what art can do for a community.
I think it's interesting that she brought up the word collaboration. And doing some research before this conversation, I came upon a great article, and it was discussing how Portland is a creative community. And the concept that was reiterated in this article was collaboration and sort of the lack of boundaries between creative types and the rest of the community, and how there's sort of this general commitment to doing things in a creative spirit, and the creative types in the community of Portland are actually a lot of other types too. They're business owners and they're teachers and they're city councilors and et cetera, et cetera. So it's not so distinguishable what is creative and what is not. What is design and what is art? What is a cultural organization and what is an arts organization, et cetera? What is a nonprofit and what is a commercial? So it's interesting to start thinking about not an arts community but a creative community, and what that means when you think about it in different terms.
Jim Respis is a renting member of the McGuffey Art Center.
A characteristic of a creative community is that it questions status quo versus reinforcing status quo.
Creative communities can impact a city's economy in a beneficial way. Eric Curran is with the American Shakespeare Center and Blackfriars Theater in Stanton. He referred to urban studies theorist Richard Florida and his work on the creative class.
Richard Florida defines the creative class as not so much your traditional manufacturing managers or manufacturing workers, but people who a lot of people feel like are more suited to a 21st century sort of post-industrial economy. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have financial workers, workers in knowledge industries, but also people like graphic designers, people like interior designers, architects. These seem to be the kind of job categories that a creative community attracts.
Kirby Hutto is the general manager of the Charlottesville Pavilion. He says that it's important to see the role that downtown has played in fostering Charlottesville's creative community.
Somewhere around the mid-90s, we kind of hit that critical mass of venues and arts organizations that just sort of gave that impetus to downtown, creating this whole new identity as an arts and entertainment district. And then you get the restaurants coming in, you get the galleries coming in, and a lot of that economic vitality that a lot of other cities are dying to figure out how to get, we got through that critical mass of venues and entertainment and arts options, all kind of within this core of the old downtown of the city.
Wendy Brown, the founder of the Center for Nonprofit Excellence, said the creation of First Fridays helped forge Charlottesville's artistic identity.
I think that has helped to build those linkages, that sense of a creative community, and expand everyone's understanding of the role of art, because it can be about that gallery space, it can be about that business that's supporting artists by having them on their walls.
However, not everyone was optimistic. Community member Jessica Thayer only moved to the region about a year and a half ago, and she says she's seeing something different.
When I moved here, what I found on the mall in downtown was businesses were saying, we can't afford our space anymore, it's not viable for us to stay. That was before the economic downturn. And here, and yet there's this train that can drop people right in town. And so to bring your 90s story up to the present of people maybe coming here to look at this model, but the model was falling apart and it was no longer working. And I don't know how to bring the thesis up to the present or to the story.
Well, I'm not going to agree with falling apart and no longer working. I think it's just it's the maturation. And, you know, as the economic vitality is there, then you're going to see, you know, that growth sort of continue and change. And some of the folks who needed the low rent space are going to, you know, are gonna have to look elsewhere because you get that success. And I think that's where you have to, you know, how do you marshal those market forces to keep from losing what you've developed. But you know, I think that, you know, even with the recession we're looking at for the next year, I still think, you know, once we come out of that and the economy picks back up, Charlottesville still has that core creative community that's down here that'll help, you know, downtown to bounce back quicker than other areas.
Rob Jones is the owner of Migrations Gallery, and he writes a blog about Charlottesville's art community called Art Park. He says that artists are not necessarily motivated to make a lot of money, but through coordination, the community as a whole can benefit.
And we make it successful through our creative thinking, our accessibility, what we do, who we are, and then suddenly the rents come up and people become more interested in, you know, an energetic downtown, and we get Urban Outfitters, we get what other, you know, chains that we're going to get down here, those that can't afford the space. And suddenly, you know, in every other city that I've been in, the artists pick up, go find someplace else. That becomes vital. Mm-hmm. You know, in most cities, wherever they may be, or they hit the fringe and whatever's next. And for us, if we're all moving out to Belmont and making that creative, great. But we've also seen what has happened there in the last 5 years. Where's the next spot in Charlottesville? And as an artist, arts organization, retail, nonprofit, you're always on the move. And people follow you. And I think that's the important for the creativity of a community. Is, I think it's evident where it's creating where everyone wants to be.
Annie Jacobs is a local artist from Nelson County and a fine arts teacher in the Albemarle County school system.
The basic definition of a creative community is one who not only keeps with some of the traditions, but constantly thinks out of the box, is constantly in motion thinking out of the box. By that, when things downturn, like with the economic downturn we're having right now, and we may possibly and already have lost some artists to the local community in order to keep them, what can we do not to lose those valuable people in that venue? What can we do to make it more accessible? What can we do to make it more fun? It's a basic need in human nature. What can we do on an elementary level to get more people aware that there's art out here, whatever it means to do, take the local businesses and the art community and blend them together so that there's something that is in constant motion to keep it viable.
Elizabeth Breeden runs the Art in Place program and offers these thoughts on the role that the arts play in our community.
In my program, I when I started, I would have voted for roads and education long before arts until I was doing what I do for the 10 years. And now I realize that what I'm doing is giving people the offer of owning their community. And that, to me, is vital because it is multicultural. And I find it's not just a progressive art show that occurs and everybody says, hey, look, this is my town. I've got this thing that's weird, but isn't it cool? I have another step, which is a neighborhood. Get the people in the neighborhood involved in making a mosaic wall. They suddenly say, that is my park, instead of it being a park that is in their neighborhood. So that the arts offer an idea of possession of the place where you live, and that we're not Gary, Indiana. You know, if you put it all to bricks and square and mortar, suddenly it is a desolate place. That instead, when you encourage the arts, you offer the ownership of the town.
PCA Executive Director Maggie Guggenheimer then moved on to the next question.
There are two different ways of looking at this concept, at least in my mind, and there's probably many more than that, but at least two that I'd like to talk about right now are how the residents, and that includes university students who are temporary residents, how people feel here and how they identify their own community in relation to creative people, artists, arts organizations, and also visitors, and how are we distinguished from Gary, Indiana, to people in the rest of the state of Virginia and throughout the country, and how do we work with the resources that are also competitors to the arts, like Monticello and UVA, that seem to come to everyone's mind, and even wine country now before the arts. And we really are all sort of in it for the same thing, which is to bring more life and resources to our community. But I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that, the visitors component, and how Charlottesville exists to everyone else in relation to what we have to offer for the arts.
Rob Jones of Migration Gallery was the first to respond.
Are we considered an arts and culture destination?
No, to get that started. I don't think we are.
Why not?
We are a town of red brick and white columns. We're Thomas Jefferson's home. And from my exposure outside of Charlottesville, through the gallery, people are shocked at the fact that I exist doing what I do in Charlottesville. I mean, it's an eye-opener, and they're pleased to hear it, but they know Charlottesville is a nice place to be. They had no idea that it actually has progressive arts.
Kirby Hutto of the Charlottesville Pavilion emphatically disagreed.
But people are coming. I mean, emphatically, we are an arts destination within our region, and I would say even within the Mid-Atlantic. Maybe not for the progressive visual arts, but certainly for the performance arts. You know, the Paramount, John Paul Jones, and us, we bring people to this community with money in their pockets that are coming here for entertainment.
I'll qualify. Speaking on the visual arts.
But I think that
performing arts are entirely different, and I think are extremely successful here.
But there's got to be a way to link that. You know, if we're bringing, you know, several thousand people downtown to see Crosby, Stills, Nash, or whoever the artist is, I mean, that's a demographic that's got money. And, you know, there should be a way to get them out into the community. And yes, they're going to the restaurants now, but, you know, to tie that into the galleries to help support, you know, all the other entities that are down here. And I think that we're, you know, we do that almost by default on a certain level, but there should be more ways to, you know, to help make that link and to let everyone benefit from that activity.
Well, we've seen a lot of changes in the last, even 3 months, especially in the visual arts sector, but in the performing arts sector, I know things like the closing of Satellite Ballroom, while it may be a different issue than the closing of, say, Spruce Creek Gallery in Nellie's Ford, it's it's interesting to look at how those changes both affect the way local people feel about this place and visitors. And is it our job to try to change that, or is that a natural ebb and flow of the arts sector?
Eric Curran with the American Shakespeare Center and Blackfriars Theater in Stanton.
Well, and I don't know how this is going to help your art galleries, but, you know, coming from Stanton, a town that has UVA and Monticello, to not say it's an arts and cultural destination is hard for me to understand. Mm-hmm. I wonder if people are leaving the cultural part out of it.
Yeah, I felt the same thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sherry Smith is the owner of Lander Creative, and she works with a lot of artists and nonprofits in town. She is also the director of development for the Artisan Center of Virginia in Waynesboro, an organization that's looking to enter into Charlottesville.
I think part of what's going on, too, is a little bit of an identity issue going on. When you're talking about music and you're talking about a venue that can bring in national acts that are well-known and popular, they've got an established identity, and that's going to bring people from Richmond to come see, you know, an act and everything. That's great. We have a lot of talent in this community, local talent, and I think it's very underexposed in terms of its identity. There are some fine artists here, some probably that have more of an international reputation than others, but they're not talked about a lot, and they're not well known a lot, and there aren't always those same type of marketing opportunities for them like there are for a show going to be, you know, hosted at John Paul Jones or at the Paramount. So there's a little bit of an identity thing there, where I think if we could boost the talent that we already have existing in this community in such a way to where maybe it connects somewhat with the larger picture and these larger, more attractive acts that are coming into the town, then we can start to elevate that and maybe change what's happening for the visual arts community, literary arts. You know, there are several different communities not even represented here.